Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ramadan Mubarak meets the trial of Hosni Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak is how many Muslims greet each other during the month-long holiday period, which started yesterday. In case you didn't know, we will begin a country-by-country series this holy month in the year of the Arab Spring. First up is Egypt. Yesterday, protesters were forcibly cleared from Tahrir Square after a three-week sit-in. So the opposite of what we saw in Tahrir back in February. Demonstrators, which included Islamists and secularists, are upset with the military rule and the slow pace of change since Hosni Mubarak was ousted. The six-month-old revolution in Egypt has fallen out of international headlines, but will probably see more attention paid to Cairo as they head toward elections and as Mubarak is set to go on trial tomorrow, a trial that will be televised and seen as a test of the military government's sincerity in holding Mubarak accountable for crimes committed during his three-decade-long reign. Joining us now to offer an update on the revolution in Egypt during the Islamic Holy Month is Stephen Cook, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of the forthcoming book, The Struggle for Egypt from Nasser to Tahrir Square. Stephen Cook, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much, Brian.
So former President Mubarak is set to go on trial tomorrow. The military government is in charge of that trial. He was a creature of the military. They've said it will be televised live. What do you think the Egyptian public is actually going to see?
Well, I think that the Egyptian public is going to see this trial covered live, wall to wall. This is what everybody has demanded and are expecting from the Supreme Council, the armed forces. The Supreme Council did not want this situation to come to pass, but they've been pressured by persistent protests in Tahrir Square demanding Mubarak be held accountable. And as a result, they have reluctantly agreed to this. Now, they've said that they will not interfere with any judicial processes. So we are going to see for the first time an unvarnished trial of an Arab leader who is brought down by his own people. We certainly saw Saddam Hussein in the dock, but that was a very different situation. And this is Egypt, not Iraq, which is quite different because it makes up about a quarter of the Arab world and is a bellwether of the region. This is an extraordinary moment, Brent.
Will Mubarak really be inside of an iron cage, as I've read?
Well, that is the way in which Egyptian prisoners are brought into courtrooms. They are behind a cage. We've seen this over and over again in years with trials of Islamist activists and others accused of terrorism. And you can expect, depending on his health, which is a matter of controversy and debate over the exact nature of former President Mubarak's health, that his former interior ministry, a gentleman named Habib Adli, and his two sons, Gamal Mubarak and Ala Mubarak, will be led into the courtroom in white prison jumpsuits and will be held in a cage in the courtroom.
So, Egyptian Americans, if you happen to be listening, we have about 10 minutes for you to call in and tell us what you're looking for in this trial. Call and tell us about whether you'll be watching. And are you still as hopeful about real change in Egypt in general as you were in February? 212-433-WNYC. Also, do you think Ramadan will be celebrated differently this year? Is it different for you? Egyptian Americans will go country by country in coming days on the Islamic Holy Month in different nations in the Arab Spring year. But if we happen to have Egyptian Americans listening right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What are you looking for in the trial? Are you still as hopeful about the country as you were in February? Does Ramadan mean something different to you or will be celebrated differently to you this year because of all the change? 212-433-WNYC for you if you're an Egyptian American. 212-433-9692 with Stephen Cook from the Council on Foreign Relations, author of the forthcoming The Struggle for Egypt from Nasser to Tahrir Square. Who's been demonstrating in Tahrir Square these last 3 weeks, Stephen, and why?
Well, it's been an amalgamation of revolutionary groups and activists, and this demonstration demonstration, this most recent demonstration or sit-in, and it's been going on since mid-July or even earlier, was sparked by the police's efforts to prevent the families of people who were killed during the uprising from protesting in Tahrir Square. And the initial demand was that these people, that the police officers and others who are responsible for these deaths be brought to trial and held accountable. And it has grown to other demands, including an open trial for Mubarak, no delay for the trial. There was suspicion that because it was scheduled for Ramadan that the trial would be put over for months. And other demands include speeding up the transition process and a clear signal from the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces that they would indeed hand power over to the civilian government and increase security around around Egypt.
So that's pure democracy, good government, and public safety, the way you make it sound. But I also read that the Islamist groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood and other major ones, were represented, turned out huge numbers of supporters, as did liberal and secular groups. But if the original goal was to exhibit some unity between the Islamists and the secular folks, that didn't quite pan out. Is that correct?
It wasn't the original goal. The protesters predated this turnout by the Islamists last Friday. The Salafist groups, the Muslim Brotherhood, others appeared in Tahrir Square on Friday in response to this prolonged sit-in in Tahrir Square. Their goal was to demonstrate support for the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces and to demonstrate support for the timeline of the transition, and to be quite honest, to flex Islamist political muscle to demonstrate to Egyptians in the world that Islamists in this new environment are going to do everything they can to influence the trajectory of Egyptian politics.
Nermeen in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. And Ramadan Mubarak.
It's Ramadan Kareem to Egyptians. We don't want to hear it for a few years.
Is that right? So the greeting has actually changed?
Well, we've always used Ramadan Kareem, has always traditionally been more Egyptian. Ramadan Mubarak has been throughout the rest of the Arab world, particularly the Gulf. From what I understand, I've always used Ramadan Kareem.
And what does that mean? Can you, for our non, listeners who don't know, aren't from those backgrounds, what does the phrase mean?
Ramadan Mubarak means, they both mean blessed Ramadan, basically. It's just two, one is generous, Kareem is generous Ramadan, and Mubarak means blessed Ramadan.
Thank you.
That would be the difference.
Now go ahead with what you wanted to say about the country.
Specifically asked, what do Egyptians in New York want? And I've been working with a group. From the trials specifically, we want to see him and everybody responsible for any martyr's death to end up in justice. And that is really why Tahrir did not end, because the martyrs' families really did not feel that any money or anything that they were being offered was going to be enough, that they wanted to see every policeman up through the ranks, still Mubarak, be brought to justice for the murder of their families and their friends.
And not done yet.
I'm sorry?
And that has not been done.
No. They refused to leave until they started seeing court cases. They said they may think about it when Mubarak's brought into trial, but many of them don't believe that that's actually going to happen. They think that, there are a lot of different theories, of course. We are the Arab community loves their conspiracy theories. But that being said, I'll wait to see if it actually happens. I don't believe that actually tomorrow we will see him. And if we do, I will throw a party. I'm so excited to see him behind bars.
Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. And Sharifa in Kensington, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. My hope for this trial is that we will see the rule of law and we will see good government in action on TV. But my real fear is that, in fact, there's going to be so much unhappiness with the procedure that there just won't be enough actual proof of Mubarak's corruption, that things aren't actually in writing.
And then he'll just get off and not that much will be illuminating?
Absolutely. And that it's really his wife and his sons that were so much a part of the corruption, and that Mubarak himself you know, that there were understandings and that so much was unsaid that he didn't actually participate mm-hmm. necessarily that,
right.
you know, that, it was assumed, oh, yes, we'll do this for the president.
That it'll be hard for court. Thank you very much. Rafat in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rafat.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Egyptian-American and thinking what?
Well, I'm sort of going against the grain here. I've been a supporter of this January 25th movement probably since January 25th of 1986 or something, you know? But, you know, I think sort of parading him as a common criminal or putting him in the stature of an Assad who's a real war criminal or Gaddafi who's a war criminal just, I mean, doesn't smack of justice to me. It smacks of revenge. I'm all for him.
What would be justice, Rafat?
What would be justice is him the money that he took from the Egyptian people being confiscated, given back to the Egyptian people. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Even if you execute him live on television, I think. And the revolution isn't just about a man going to jail or a family going to prison. It's about freedom, democracy, transparency, things that are slipping out of the hands of common Egyptians as the days progress. It's getting closer and closer and closer to reaching the brink of the one man, one vote, one time scenario for Egypt. And it's scary. And I think Mubarak is a sideshow, and it'll make people maybe feel good about themselves and maybe make people take their eyes off the real problems that are currently continuing to happen, the corruption, the arresting of peaceful protesters. I'm Coptic Orthodox, the continuous religious persecution, mm-hmm. the government turning its back on the plight of minorities or free speech or gays or, I mean.
I understand. Rafat, I'm going to leave it there because we're out of time, but thank you so much. Thanks to all of you Egyptian-Americans who called in. And Stephen Cook from the Council on Foreign Relations, we have about 45 seconds for a last thought from you.
Well, let me
and
just
wow
say,
to all those callers.
Well, let me just say in response to the last caller, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think that the issue of Mubarak going before this panel, these judges, is one thing, but he's really the past, and Egyptians should be focusing on the future and building a more just, free, open society. Of course, he needs to be held accountable for his crimes, but there is a risk that the focus will be on his trial as opposed to building a more decent political system.
Stephen Cook, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, author of the forthcoming book, The Struggle for Egypt, From Nasser to Tahrir Square. Thank you very much for talking to us today. And
thank
that concludes
you, Brian.
Part one in our new country-by-country series this holy month in the year of the Arab Spring here on day two of Ramadan 2011.